This morning we're blessed with Andy Most, who will be teaching us this morning. So just ask that the Lord give ears to hear, and we would be encouraged by this challenge to be anxious for nothing.
Okay, good morning. How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. I'm good. It's good to be here with you guys. We don't have a mic in our class, so I'm living out my dreams of becoming a pop star right now. So bear with me if I get caught up in that.
No, Andy, we do have an over-the-air one if you really want
to. I was kind of hoping for that, maybe next week. Sadly, you guys are stuck with me for the next 2 weeks, so we can maybe figure that out for next, and I'll prepare a better outfit to match the occasion. So, yeah, good morning. As Tony said, my name's Andy Most is my last name. I've been coming to Cornerstone consistently since, I think, 2017, so 8 years now. I'm married to Haley, my wife Haley. Her maiden name's Chamberlain. She's been here since she was, like, 10. She's the daughter of Jeff Chamberlain, who's an elder here, so some of you may know him, so a little bit about me. We have 3 kids, 4th coming in October, 2 boys, Walton and Heron, and then a little girl named Tulsi. So yeah, we're a full house. We're very blessed. And yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to teach today. This is the book we're going through, Anxious for Nothing, John MacArthur. I don't know if anyone's gotten a chance to get a copy of the book yet, but it's a really good book, and we found it really helpful in our class, and we're excited, I think, go through it in here with you guys. The chapters, I know John can sometimes, I don't know if you've read a John MacArthur book before, some of his books are a little more dense. This one's a little lighter. It's not too bad to get into. So I always made the charge in our class every week of if you watch one episode of TV a week, you can get through one chapter of this in the week for sure. So that's your charge to have no excuses to read and hopefully be able to join in and come into the lesson ready for the topic. But yeah, so today, chapter 2. Chapter 2 is what we're going through. It's titled Avoiding Anxiety Through Prayer. Prayer is very important. Prayer is very, very important. The week I taught on this in our class, the week before, Bob had said in his sermon, which I don't know if I'm quoting him exactly, but he basically said, if you're a believer who doesn't pray, you should consider whether you're a believer or not. And in Scripture, we have two commands to pray without ceasing. You have it in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which just says pray without ceasing. And then you have it in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, which we hear, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. And what's interesting about that, relating to kind of Bob's quote, is that both of those passages are Paul describing the marks of a true believer. So both of those commands of pray without ceasing come in the context of talking about the marks of a true believer. So I think, you know, Bob's got a little validation there for his own little spin on it of basically being in prayer, being constant in prayer is the mark of a true believer. And, you know, we can talk about what that, we'll get into a little bit more about what that looks like today. And we'll talk about why that is. I want to start with just the question of why is prayer so important? And why do we need to pray? Yeah.
It shows our dependence.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Him to seek wisdom or to be able to understand things, and we go to Him. It's change the heart, we can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else?
To humble ourselves that we are not in charge, He's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be His way anyway, and He does it all for good, even if we don't see it.
Yeah. 100%. Gabe?
Well, you said a very basic level. There is no well-functioning relationship without communication. So between both prayer, us talking to God, and reading the Bible, God talking to us,
mm-hmm.
that's just not a very great relationship.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, these are all correct. I feel like there's a million reasons why we pray, right? There's so many, and I think you can kind of sum it up in that, I mean, we pray, one, because God tells us to, and if God tells us to pray, just for that simple fact, no matter what happens with it, we should be praying. But then, two, like we're saying, there's so many benefits because God designed life to work best when it's soaked in prayer. I mean, that's part of the design. That's part of what, you know, I always often use this example and the command with my kids, the command to obey your parents And that ends with, so it'll go well with you. And I think you could kind of put that at the end of almost every command that God gives us in Scripture, because God's design and why he tells us to do things is not just because he wants you to do it. It's because that's how life is designed to work best. When he tells us to pray, he tells us to pray constantly because it will then go well with you. And so today we're going to talk about one of the benefits of prayer. And one of the ways it'll go well with you is that if we're praying constantly, it will help us to avoid anxiety. This chapter is titled Avoiding Anxiety Through Prayer. And so today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in the basis of, I think last week we talked about, Stephen was in here and taught about Matthew 6, I believe, which was Jesus talking about anxiety. Today we're going to talk about Paul's sort of big talk on anxiety, which is found in Philippians 4, chapter 6 through 9. It's kind of the passage where he tackled this the most head on. So yeah, we're going to focus on Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And then we'll pull from those the 4 points that MacArthur has, which are reacting to problems with thankful prayer, focusing on godly virtues, what we are to think about, and then practicing what's been preached. So we'll go all into this into more detail, but I think one of the big things that I want us to get out of today, and that really will keep happening throughout this book, but the big idea is that to avoid anxiety, we must replace it. So to avoid anxiety, you have to replace it. You can't just avoid it. You can't just go away from it. You have to replace it with something. And we'll talk about what that looks like and what Paul tells us to do to replace it. And I'll be breaking down each of these main topics and talking a little bit, but I'm also going to try to engage you guys and ask a couple questions, because I think what you'll see in kind of the last point of the verse, topics like these are very easy to talk about in hypothetical, specifically, you know, just pray away anxiety. But what does that actually look like, I think, is a lot harder. It's easy to be like, yeah, you pray and then you avoid anxiety. Then you go home and you get very anxious. And you're like, well, I don't really know what I'm actually supposed to be doing right now. So we'll talk through that. We'll try to encourage one another and go through examples. And yeah, hopefully this will be helpful. So first, let's break down our passage real quick. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Somebody read that for me. And anyone who gets there, just go ahead.
Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And what you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Lovely. Thank you, Dan. So yeah, that's our verse here. And Paul was writing to us about not being anxious, writing to the church in Philippi. And I think also, he was probably writing to himself a bit here, too. Does anyone know where Paul was writing this letter from?
Prison.
So he was in prison, most likely feeling like, you know, decent shot, I'm going to be put to death here. So yeah, I'm sure he was not only writing to the church members of Philippi, but also was probably writing to himself a little bit to kind of remind himself of these truths. I think we can easily forget often that, you know, as much as Paul seems very mystical as, you know, this man that God chose to use to write a majority of the New Testament, he was obviously still a sinful, fallen man. So a lot of all these commands he wrote that we now take from as God's word, we're also God's word to himself as well. So we consider that. I mean, Paul was in a very anxious state himself during this time. And he starts the text with a command, do not be anxious about anything. So there's a command there. It's not, you know, try not to be anxious. It's not, hopefully you won't be anxious. It's do not be anxious. So there's a command to not be anxious. And then MacArthur points out that Paul doesn't leave us in a vacuum here. He then immediately after tells us what to do in place of being anxious. So it's do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, with the benefit being, we see in verse 7, peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So that's where we get our first main point right there, is responding to problems with thankful prayer. And then verse 8 brings us to our next main point, that we are to think about and focus on godly virtues, which Paul lists as whatever honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. This is where we get our second point of focusing on those godly virtues. And then MacArthur kind of doubles down on that for our third point, where he'll talk specifically about what we can think about to focus on those godly virtues, or how you think about different things in your life in a way that focuses on those godly virtues. And then wrapping it all up, practicing what is preached is the final point that MacArthur has in this chapter, and that's pulled from, verse 9 of just Paul calling them to do as he does. So we see all that. We see kind of where John MacArthur pulls these points out. So the first thing that we see that Paul talks about is calling us to not just avoid anxiety, but to replace it. Firstly, with prayers of thanksgiving. So again, verse 6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And MacArthur emphasizes that the Greek term that Paul uses to refer to those requests being made known to God is specifically a term used for petitions made to God in the midst of difficulty. So those are very connected. The do not be anxious and the requests being made known to God, those are, Paul's referencing back, the requests you're making as far as like getting rid of anxiety. And so he's telling us to do that with thankfulness, which is very interesting to think of being thankful for the things that are causing you anxiety, because there's a lot of very real things that cause anxiety that we'll go over. But I wanted to start with getting a little list together of what are some common things that cause us anxiety. And just shout them out if you got any.
Focus in on the negative instead of the positive.
Sure.
You're not in control.
Sure. How about specific topics? Like not health, future. All right, we'll have health.
Finances.
Yep. Future. Finances. Is that all we're anxious about? Is there anything else?
Things on my list to do.
Yep.
Relationships.
Relationships. Dan, I was going to ask, is that your to-do list or your wife's to-do list for you? That's the real question. That's the one that gives me anxiety.
Usually mine.
Yeah. Anything else?
New situations.
New situations.
This is not my personality type, but I know certain people who get very anxious about variables that they have no knowledge of or control over.
Sure. So maybe like big world problems?
Or like, you know, things that just variables in like a potential plan that they have. Like they don't know what this person's going to do or...
Sure.
What they're going to be or...
Yep.
Things I could throw a wrench in there.
Yep. Okay. It's a nice little list. I oftentimes end up writing too small, so I wrote very, very big. So we shouldn't need much more written on the board, but we're going to come back to this list. So yeah, there's plenty of things that give us anxiety. And none of these things are, you know, not real problems. I might scoot over so we can kind of see. Is that okay? Is that all right? All right, cool. None of these things are not, you know, real problems. They're very real. And the thing is that we're told to not be anxious, but these are clearly anxious situations. And nowhere in this verse do we see that these things will be taken away. It doesn't say that we won't have anxiety as believers, as Christians, or as people who pray, because there will be nothing to be anxious about. These are all realities of life. These aren't going to go away. And so... How and why does Paul call us to pray over these things with thanksgiving? So first, how can you pray with thanksgiving for, you know, not knowing how you're going to put food on the table? How do you pray for thanksgiving with thanksgiving for that? Tony.
When trusting that he is in control, he is sovereign, and that he knows what's best for us.
Mm-hmm.
Better pill to swallow sometimes, you know, trial can grow us. Bring us closer to him. So I don't know if necessarily thinking, but sort of thinking God in the midst of these things.
You know, it's hard to thank God if a child dies, but I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, if that's what he's calling us to do, but he's calling us to be thankful in the midst of all that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, if you're anxious about health, well, you know, we're all going to die. But are we doing anything that, everything that God tells us to keep our health?
Sure.
Are we doing anything, for example, finance? I'm going to worry about my finance, but I'm not going to put an application in to get a job.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So in a relationship, I mean, all these, am I being faithful in every one of those areas? And knowing that I'm faithful, I know that he'll work it out.
Yeah.
But when I'm unfaithful and have a problem, well, you got a reason to be anxious because you're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You have something?
I would think being thankful also would be just thanking him for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, knowing what the words say, he's the creator. I mean, well, the things that we can experience and go through, and just knowing who God is, the provider, he knows the beginning from the end. And then when we putting our faith and trust, knowing who he is, that's when he can show up and show out and provide. And then we have said, that was my love, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, the how we pray with Thanksgiving, you're not praying, you know, like Tony's example is extreme. I don't think we're being called to pray, thank you, God, that, you know, I had a child pass away. That's not what we're called to do. What we're called is to have the perspective. I mean, anxiety comes from us worrying about suffering in many different shapes and forms. But God promises us to sustain us, work out everything for our good, and to strengthen us through suffering. So if we truly believe that, that's how we pray with thanksgiving in the face of trials and anxiety. We can pray in thanks for the promises of God that I know that even though this situation is hard and I'm not, you know, necessarily thankful for the specifics of it, I'm thankful in knowing that God is good, God is going to sustain me, God is going to work this out for my good, and that he's going to strengthen me through this. Did you have something to say, Dan?
Since we're to continue in prayer, we're to pray regularly.
Yeah.
Prayer is never informing God.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, a huge element, is us recognizing God working.
Mm-hmm.
So, how can I be thankful? Well, because I prayed about this yesterday. I prayed about the day before. I prayed about the day before. And now I get to recognize, oh, look at how God worked in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is no silly coincidence.
Yeah.
This has to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And he took care of that. Now I can keep praying about that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You solved all these other things.
Yeah.
Yesterday, last week, last month. I look forward to seeing what you're going to do here, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the belief in his promises. You believe that you see his promises have worked out in the past in your life, and you're continuing to pray with belief in those promises. And that's also, I mean, that's the how, and then the why is because of the result that that gives you. If you're praying like that through that relationship, if you're praying like that through that situation, it releases you from fear and worry because it fixes our minds on the blessings and truth of the Lord and the result of those promises that he's made. And so...
Trust in him.
Exactly.
Because when I pray, I also see how God has answered prayers, and that strengthened my faith, that strengthened my relationship with him, and then it helps me to grow knowing that he hears me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want. And then prayer also helps me to learn how to hear from him.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
For me, it's I have to admit that I can't do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I need him, and I trust and believe that I don't have the power, but he does.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just do the next right thing, he will reward the righteousness he put in me, some of it, if I just believe that he can and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for his help.
Yeah. Yeah, just put in that dependency.
I was just really taken when I was reading MacArthur's book how so much of what we worry or have anxiety about, not all, but much of it has a physical, earthly component to it. and when, you know, he suggests that our thankfulness has, and I even put it in my side notes here, there's no physical component to some of the things that we can be thankful for. Mm-hmm. You know, when he talks about that God will supply our needs, that he is closely in touch with our lives, that power. I was like, these are things that have no earthly component. I want to pray for Thanksgiving. If I can't pray for Thanksgiving because I'm struggling with my health and I'm struggling with seeing something there, God gives us so many things to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like those things we think of are forever. Those are eternal things. Yeah.
Tangible, earthly component to that. But yet God gives us all these things and the promises that he has.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, that's kind of the thing he breaks down there is, yeah, the blessings that we can focus on, some of them being, yeah, Philippians 4:19, he supplies our needs. 1 Peter 5:6-7, he cares about us. Psalm 62:11, all power belongs to him. So Paul tells us to pray with thanksgiving because it fixes our mind on all the good God is and has done in our lives, which if truly believed and practiced, breaks anxiety about things on this earth that we could worry about. The big example then, he gives a couple big examples of people praying with thanksgiving through hard times. And the first big one that I think is quite an anxious time that we see an example of someone praying with thanksgiving through in the prophet Jonah. Jonah was swallowed by a whale, which is a very anxious position to be in, I would say. I've never been in the belly of an animal. I still have a lot of questions of how physically that worked and how he was able to like just hang out down there, but That's a very anxious position, I would say. And Jonah's prayer, which MacArthur puts in there, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. And what was the result? The result of Jonah's prayer of thanksgiving in the face of anxiety and the results of our own prayers of thanksgiving in the face of anxiety will be Philippians 4:7, which is the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so the peace is described as surpassing all comprehension. So what does that mean? How should we look at what will this peace look like if it surpasses all comprehension? What does that mean?
Defies the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of, you know, Johnny Erickson Tata, who she truly is thankful for her disability because she knows she would have never stayed close to God.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you could break it down to basically like it's not gonna be a logical peace. Like a lot of people, you know, you could talk about having peace, and a lot of times I feel like logically you think like, okay, so nothing's wrong then. If you have peace, like nothing is wrong. Things are well, things are quiet, you know, like you have peace. But this is a peace that is beyond comprehension, so it's not going to align with logically our idea of peace, and that's why. You know, this isn't a peace that is there because your car troubles are gone, because the death of that child didn't happen now anymore, because your finances are all worked out. It means you'll feel peace in the midst of those situations. And the end of Philippians 4:7 tells us how you'll feel that. It's because the peace of God guards our hearts and minds from anxiety and worry. And MacArthur talks about, he has a very specific example of this, which I wanted to read through. He talked about an example of during World War II, there was an armed German boat that picked up a missionary ship who had been torpedoed. And he goes on and talks about it. He said, the missionary was put into the hold, and for a while he was too terrified to even close his eyes. Sensing the need to adjust his perspective, he told of how he got through the night. He said, I began communing with the Lord. And he reminded me of his word in the 121st Psalm, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he shall neither slumber nor sleep. And so he said, Lord, there isn't really any use for both of us to stay awake tonight. If you are going to keep watch, I'll thank thee for some sleep. So he replaced his fear and anxiety with thankful prayer, and the peace of God that resulted enabled him to sleep soundly. And so you too will enjoy peace and rest when you cultivate the habit of looking to God with a grateful attitude. And that's kind of MacArthur's, you know, that's a great example and a very real example of seeing that played out. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it says, in this world you're going to have tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So you realize, hey, I'm having a problem here. He told me that in advance.
Yeah.
But he's overcome the world, and I'm in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, press on.
Yeah.
It says continuously, pray continuously with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so that we remember that it's not about us. It's not about what I want. I'm not praying to myself. I'm praying to the God who is capable, all-powerful, infinite, and what he is. We thank him for what he's already done. He's already already came through and builds up our confidence that he can and he will because he has done it, and thank you for what he's already done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly true. And so to kind of summarize that point, we can kind of see step by step how this goes. So we see that praying with thanksgiving eliminates anxiety because it shows a belief in God's promises, which then focuses our mind on the blessings and truth of God, which then shows us we are taken care of and that God is bigger than anything we could be anxious or worry about, which then brings us the peace of God, which he promises here, that will not take away the anxious circumstances we are in, but will take away the anxiety as it produces a trust in God's sovereignty. And so to kind of summarize that point a little bit, that gives us, we avoid anxiety by replacing it with trust in God's sovereignty. When we're praying with thanksgiving in the midst of anxious times like that, it's showing a trust in God's sovereignty.
Not only showing trust in his sovereignty, but understanding his character.
Mm-hmm.
The more we understand his character, that he's gracious, that he's good,
mm-hmm.
he's just, that he's all-knowing,
mm-hmm.
that you know, sometimes I take great comfort, especially when I've had some health issues, saying, well, God knows the outcome here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about the outcome even when I get a bad diagnosis, because God knows the outcome. I was told at 35 I wasn't going to see 36,
mm-hmm.
68. So God knew better than the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, that was a time of great growth and peace for me because I learned to really trust in, even if I hadn't survived,
mm-hmm.
but learning to trust in his character, that even if I didn't survive, or even when you do get a bad diagnosis, his character hasn't changed. He hasn't forgotten you. He's still good. He's still just. He's still all loving. He loves you way more than, as much as we love our children.
Mm-hmm.
His love is so much greater. And so when we trust all those things, we can really relax in it, just like a child can relax in the care of their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So yeah, that kind of sums up praying thankfully through problems. And then we go into our second point that MacArthur has, which is focusing on godly virtues. And so after talking through how to pray and what the benefits will be for those who pray with thanksgiving, Paul goes further into how we are to think. So I sometimes get lost in this, and I think what I like to focus on here is when he's talking about thinking and focusing our mind on things that reflect these godly virtues, I think that is kind of the outcome or the product of when we're called to pray without ceasing. Like, I don't think when we're called to pray without ceasing, which I think I struggled with this as a kid when I would hear this, and, you know, as an adult too, I struggled with this, and I think this kind of refreshes, like, prayer isn't just constantly being in that, you know, like, Sunday pray, like, not having a dialogue running with God 24/7 of just, like, I have to just be, like, actively talking with God, because similar to the example of, like, a relationship with God, like, you got to talk to him. He talks to us. If you're not, don't have that two-way communication, it's not a good relationship. I don't think the call here is also like, hey, never stop just like actively talking at God, because I don't think that's a great relationship either. I think when we're called to pray without ceasing, it is called to bring all of our thoughts into focus on godly virtues, on things of the Lord, and every thought we have that honors God in that way, that is focused on things that are good in that way, is a prayer. I mean, it is a form of prayer because it's focusing our minds on the things of the Lord. And so Paul talks about being constant in prayer in plenty of other places. And MacArthur references how modern psychology wants the patient to like focus on their sins and trauma. But this is contrary to what Paul is calling us to here. Because in Proverbs 23:7, Paul states, as a person thinks within himself, so he is. And so our thinking then and how we think plays a major role in determining what kind of believer we are and how we live our life. And MacArthur breaks down these different stages to our thinking, which is before, at, and after salvation. And I want to get through to talk about a little bit more application with these. So I think I'm gonna fly through this section a little bit. But I mean, basically, the thing is that before salvation, we're depraved, futile, thoughts are ignorant. That's, you know, Romans 1:28, 2 Corinthians 4:4. We see these laid out in Scripture of basically, we can't have thoughts that are focused on God before we're saved. And then when we are saved, we at the point of salvation, he talks about how our eyes are open to the seriousness of sin and the truth behind Christ's atoning work on the cross becomes true to us, and we then make an intelligent choice to follow that truth. And then how do we think after salvation as we think intently about God and his creation and the truths that are found in it. And so our thinking this way of thinking intently about God's truths and his creation and the things that are found in it, our thinking this way isn't just wishful, it's responding to revealed truths in God's creation. So the truths we find and the promises we find in God's word and in his creation aren't just, you know, us wishfully. When God tells us to consider the lilies, consider the birds, that's not just him being like, you know, aren't birds pretty? Aren't the lilies pretty? It's like there's truths in there that we are to consider that it's not wishful thinking of when Jesus tells us, you know, my Father feeds the birds, so he'll feed you too. He's not just saying that as like a, you know, as like a lot of, you know, modern comfort, you know, sayings are of just, you know, believe in yourself, things like that. Like, that's a promise that is good that we should be considering and dwelling on because it is true about us that he feeds the birds and so he will also feed and take care of us. And so Paul and Jesus were both constantly emphasizing the importance of what MacArthur brings up often as right thinking. And right thinking keeps our minds on the truths that are found in creation and God and God's word, which keeps our minds close to God in prayer, which prevents anxiety. And so when we're talking about these right thoughts, Paul gives us, we then go further into MacArthur's third point, which is what we are to think about. Because he talks about, you know, think these right thoughts. We are to, you know, focusing our mind on things of the Lord, on these godly virtues will help us combat anxiety. And so the things that he talks about is whatever is true, right, pure, lovely, of good repute. He gives us that list. And so those are all great. And they're easy to, you know, read and be like, yeah, I should think about what's, you know, what's true. I should think about what's lovely. And the reason Paul calls us to focus on these things is that what we focus on will set and shape our desires. And so when we're thinking about focusing on these things, and then we think about this list we have here, we got to figure out how to bring those together. Of like, I want to think about what's lovely, pure, good, excellent, this list that Paul has. But how do I think about that? And how do I think about that in the midst of thinking about these things that are very anxious situations, because they're very real, very anxious. How do we think about these? How do we think about things that cause these things? So like with health, let's say you have a lot of health problems that you're dealing with. How do I think about health in a way that reflects these virtues?
I think at a basic level, it might sound kind of elementary, but you can start by thinking about your life.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, that might be all you're able to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you have some diagnosis or pain or things you're going through, you can start feeling like, Lord, thank you that I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't done, you know, before you, and you can just start, you might need to start at, like, the entry level,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ground floor, before you're able to get to those bigger concepts that we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, I mean, look at the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a lot of times you're not able to pray these big, lofty, you know, theologically beautiful things, you might just need to say, well, thank you that I'm alive.
Yeah. And there's a rich depth even to that, that if you, yeah, just keep building further into that, there's so many truths in that that play this out. Yeah, Gabe.
When you think about what you're anxious about, if you can use the mental picture of a path, when you're anxious, it's because the path ahead of you is dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see what's ahead of you, and you're worried about that. When you, let's say we're talking about health, when you're starting to think about what's commendable, what is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise, that leads you into the path of thinking about, okay, let's say it's low blood pressure, or you know, something related to blood pressure. Well, what can I do that is excellent, worthy of praise, commendable to work on that blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that gives you the step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to see the entire path. That gives you one more step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how can I fulfill God's commands to take care of my body?
Mm-hmm.
And all you need is that one step.
Yeah. And that process comes from, yeah, the right thinking. Like, you find those steps through the right thinking about those things of, like, instead of, yeah, woe is me, I have low blood pressure, like, man, praise God, I have steps ahead, and you designed my body to work this way, and I can, you designed my body to be.
As I mentioned before, just what's the next right thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was reading an article by Martin Luther, and
mm-hmm.
his daughter died from the Black Death that went through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he said, he's always been able to thank God for everything except that. He was there from the big, but when he explains the last conversation that he had with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter says, Dad, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I die, I'm going to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, as I talked to Martin Luther about this, I said, God, you're so fortunate because I got three kids that if they died right now,
mm-hmm.
I know what would happen.
Yeah.
You should be thankful
mm-hmm.
that she is a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't answer me.
Yeah. I've heard he gives a lot of people that response these days. Yeah, I mean, that's a great example. And I think this applies, you know, this applies not only to anxious situations, but also to anything in life, where to think about it in this context of godly virtues.
Continuous prayer,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned a minute ago.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's not a continuous wish list.
Yes.
Santa Claus. It's prayer is praising God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you praise Him, when you honor His righteousness and goodness, when you act right, when you live a good, pure, moral life, every action you live, every breath you take praises Him. And that's how you pray continuously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's 100%. Because, I mean, yeah, we can think about these difficult situations in all this way, and that is a way to praise Him continuously, is being thankful through these. And then there's also, I mean, things that are good that we are to enjoy that sometimes we feel hard to connect, like things like, you know, sports. I'm sure a lot of these amount of people in here like sports. We live in Detroit. Go Lions, obviously. How do you think about the Lions in a way that looks towards these godly virtues? You know, you can think about sports as a blessing from God that we can enjoy. You think about praising God for, you know, the spirit of competition that reflects part of His character. You thank Him for, like, opportunities to seek to serve His kingdom through the opportunity of sports and how it brings people together. Like, there's ways to think about all things we enjoy and all things that, you know, are difficult in a way that reflects these godly virtues that will bring us closer to Christ. And I think that's very important, both in anxious situations and in all things that we think about, because another thing that we have to consider of why this is so important is, you know, maybe it's tempting to think in when you have anxious situations, like, oh, I'm not going to sit here and ho-hum and, like, worry about it. I know I'm not supposed to be anxious about it, but I'm also not going to be actively praising God for it. And sadly, there is no neutral position like that. Like, every thought we have towards anything in this world is either a thought that is taking captive for Christ or a thought that is pulling us away from Christ. There's no neutrality. And so we are to take every thought captive for Christ by taking every thought captive by these virtues and filtering it through this lens. And so that kind of sums up those two points, kind of bring us together to avoid anxiety. We need to replace anxious thoughts with right thoughts. So to avoid anxiety, we replace it with trust in the sovereignty of God, and part of that is having right thoughts, trusting in His character, trusting in Him, and filtering our thoughts through that. And so we get to the end here, and kind of why I wanted to do this little example of, you know, thinking through some specific situations is Paul wraps up Philippians 4, 6-9, talking about what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so it's a twofold command there. I mean, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. So first, we have to learn and receive and hear. You have to learn these things. You have to have the mental checklist, the head knowledge of, like, I need to pray with thanksgiving through difficult times, and I need to focus my thoughts rightly on these virtues of the Lord. But then you have to then also take them and practice them. You can't skip either of those steps and get the result that Paul's talking about. You have to learn, you have to know, and then you have to do. And so some takeaway questions that I want to give us this week to sort of focus on is, one, are you coming to God in thankful prayer? Like, if you're dealing with some hard situations in your life and it's overwhelming you and it's causing you anxiety, like, it's easy to hear, like, yeah, I should be coming to God in thankful prayer, but assess, are you actually doing that? If you are feeling anxiety, if you're having a hard situation that's eating you up, that you feel you don't have peace with, like, truly address if you are coming to God in thankful prayer, because that's the first step, and it's easy to hear that, not do that. So assess that. And then once you've answered that question, once we're praying thankfully, then we need to ask ourselves, do you trust God's promises beyond human comprehension? So even when logically, when the doctor tells you, you're 35, you're not going to see 36, do you believe God's promises that he is in control and that, you know, whatever happens with that situation will be for your good and will be peace and he will use it to strengthen you through suffering? You need to ask yourself that. And you need to ask yourself if you actually believe that, because logically, a lot of these situations will not make sense and not feel like God's promises align with these. Financial troubles, health troubles, things. They are weighty and they are hard, but we are to believe in God's promises beyond what logically the situation looks like. So are you coming to God in thankful prayer? And then, do you trust God's promises beyond human comprehension? And then I think to go with John's last two points of fixing our thoughts rightly is, ask yourself, what does your mind wander toward during idle time? Is it right and virtuous? And how can you make it so? And so, like, the examples of, you know, maybe you're not struggling with a, like, very anxious situation right now. Maybe you don't have something eating you up that is very hard or, like, a difficult situation. But it doesn't necessarily, again, the concept of not having any neutral thoughts. Like, are your thoughts still focused on right and virtuous things? Like, if you are thinking about something like sports or, you know, even commitments at church and things you have to do, or your kids and things, like, are you thinking about them through the lens of godly virtues? And if not, how can you commandeer those thoughts, commandeer those things that are most common on your mind to be in line with these virtues that Paul calls us to think through? And then I just go through those, and then I think just really ask yourself, do you truly hear what Paul is teaching you to do? And if yes, then are you merely a hearer of the word or a doer? So it's kind of the point of really considering these questions in all of our lives, those of experiencing more anxiety or less. Listen to these words and consider whether you're really, if you've heard them, and then if you've decided, I do hear them, I know what Paul's saying, decide if you're a doer of the word, because that is what we are called to be. So yeah, I'm going to close up here. We're 10 a.m., but I pray you guys will consider these questions this week. You're going to be stuck with me again next week, so hopefully this wasn't too bad. And yeah, excited to be in here. And thanks for listening and participating today. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for this time. We can go through MacArthur's book, Anxious for Nothing, this second chapter about avoiding anxiety through prayer. What a blessing it is to be able to learn from his teaching that he has gotten based off of Paul's teaching. Lord, we are just so blessed to have your word fully realized and being able to study it and dive in and hear from you through it. Just the infinite wisdom that is found in it. And Lord, we just praise you for, being able to dive into it together today as a church body. Pray that this time would be a blessing, and that you would use these words in our hearts and our lives as we go about our week, that we would be able to combat anxiety, which you tell us not to do. You tell us it is a sin to be anxious. And you give us the pathway here for how to avoid it. Lord, help us to do that through prayer this week, and to take these what Paul says seriously, to not only be hearers of the word, but doers. And Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we give you all the glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Yeah, thanks, guys.